It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Steel City's workforce is among the least racially and ethnically diverse in the nation. Many are wondering how this can be. A study by Pittsburgh Today and Vibrant Pittsburgh released this year shows the area's workforce ranked the lowest among 15 comparable regions in diversity, with Blacks, Hispanics, Asians, and others making up less than 11% of the workforce. The two groups are conducting an online survey in order to address the issue. I'm joined now in studio by Pittsburgh Today Director Doug Hoik. Doug, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much, Paul.
And also with us is Melanie Harrington. She's president and CEO of Vibrant Pittsburgh. Melanie, good to see you again. Good to have you with us.
Nice to see you. Thanks for having us back.
If you have a comment or question, some thoughts on the lack of diversity in Pittsburgh's workforce, we'd like to hear from you. You can reach us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH@WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. How do you feel about the lack of diversity in Pittsburgh's workforce? How do you think it can be improved? Is enough being done to encourage minorities and ethnically diverse groups of people to join Pittsburgh's workforce? And Doug and Melanie, in a city where we seem to embrace diversity at so many different levels of popular culture, certainly in sports, why does this not translate to the workforce?
Well, it's... I'm going to dive in, Melanie.
Dive in, Doug.
Some of it, if you look back in terms of the Asian and Hispanic big kind of immigration to the U.S., most of it happened between 1975 and you know, the last 40 years. During most of that time, when Hispanic migration went up fivefold and Asian tenfold, I mean, most of that time economically, we were kind of out of business in terms of we didn't have jobs to offer. We're not a coastal city where that happened kind of, you know, over the transom. So that kind of, I think, laid the groundwork why we are the lowest at this point.
So in addition, there's another story. There's a story of African-American representation in the Pittsburgh area that's actually lower than many of our other kind of benchmark regions. And that out-migration of individuals also occurred due to the declining economic environment in the region. And people kept the old notions about what opportunity persisted here. And then I think there are issues around whether the region is welcoming to everybody. And so in order to address those things, I think we're going to have to bring lots of intention to our activity to ensure that not only are we attracting people, but we retain the people that we do have in the region to create a more diverse Pittsburgh region.
We see a very diverse student population here. Why wouldn't that fuel a more diverse workforce in this city?
I think it could. It could if they stayed and pursued the opportunities here in the Pittsburgh region.
And they don't because...
So I think more of them are, but many of them don't because we have to compete as a region with some other regions surrounding us and across the country. And so we have to put forth a very... viable and competitive proposition for these young people. So that's one reason. And when these diverse students look around and they see little diversity here in the region, our compelling proposition is kind of a tough sell.
We're actually much more, right? We just got some census information in terms of we're doing very well since 2010 in terms of tracking people from outside the country, much, much better than we have been. And we certainly do well proportionately in terms of getting a lot of the younger people to stay, but people from who are, you know, coming in from different countries have a visa problem here as well.
412-246-2002 to talk about the lack of diversity in Pittsburgh's workforce. We're with Pittsburgh Today Director Doug Hoik and Melanie Harrington, President and CEO of Vibrant Pittsburgh. They are involved in conducting an online survey to address the issue. We'll get into that survey in a bit. One question that occurs to me, certainly every city has its old prejudices that it's had to divest itself of. And, you know, Pittsburgh's not the only city. Boston was famous for barring Irish from a number of different jobs. There was evidence of an overt policy against that. There's been prejudice against Italians, certainly against African-Americans and others. Boston is now a city that has a tremendously diverse workforce. It's a diverse city itself. So why is it that other older Eastern cities have been able to get beyond this and we haven't?
Well, they didn't go through again this. I mean, before the collapse of steel in the 40s and 50s, Pittsburgh was known around the country as being a center of African-American culture.
Sure.
And so, and in fact, when black ball players would break into the majors, they came here. They didn't have people picket them. They were welcomed here. So it's not something that's in the water here. I think the reason is that minorities in the African-American population specific was disproportionately hit by the collapse of steel in that economy. And again, as I mentioned, after that time, for really 30 years, there wasn't job growth to attract or to be a magnet for the other kind of minority groups that naturally went to so many other places.
It also took a few decades for the economy to really right itself. And that period of time when the rest of the nation was experiencing this great migration of diverse individuals throughout the rest of the country, having missed it, and then the reputation of the place because of the downturn in the economy, it is hard to turn that around in a short period of time. We didn't get to where we were in terms of declining population and low rate of diversity just in a few years. It took decades. And so it's going to take quite some time. This is a long-term commitment to turn this around.
But haven't we, the collapse of the steel industry, really we began to see it in the 70s and it carried on through certainly into the 80s, but it's been, it's been 30 years, let's say, a conservative estimate of about three decades. We've seen the economy diversify. We've seen the eds and meds sprout in the very wake of the steel mills, certainly here on the South Side. So the math still doesn't add up to a lot of people that why there would be this, why we would be trailing other cities of comparable size. Certainly, I understand what you're saying, Doug, about the steel industry, but that was a long time ago.
But that's when a lot of people, again, that's this huge tenfold Hispanic migration and fivefold, or maybe I have them backwards, in the last 40, most of that happened during that time. So our job growth, our economy has diversified, has picked up, but that's really, we've only really seen that in the last 7 or 8 years that our numbers have been much more robust. And in that time, we're actually attracting minorities in a similar rate as other regions are. The trouble is we start from a much lower kind of fundamental standpoint.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Also, our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and we're on Twitter at esspgh. Audrey, in an email, says, perhaps there are still large pockets of retro Pittsburgh where they feel diverse just hiring Catholics and Jews. Remember the variety of immigrants we had 100 years ago? Some still find diversity there and resist broadening our melting pot as we should. So she's saying there might be some old guard prejudices that we still maybe haven't gotten by.
Yeah, I think there's some work to do on that. I think as a community, one of the things having moved to Pittsburgh about 5 years ago that I found is that most people in Pittsburgh seem to be from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they know each other. The networks are hardwired and breaking into that is tough. And if you are a member of an underrepresented group, the difficulty is even greater. So I think we have to figure out how to break down some of these networks to allow more people to get in. That allows the place to be much more attractive to a greater variety of people.
I think you've kind of hit on something there, Melanie. How much does the lack of racial and ethnic diversity create a competitive disadvantage? How much of an obstacle is it to economic growth in this region, the lack of diversity?
Well, go ahead.
In terms of, companies that compete globally, you know, in markets with all sorts of people, want to have a workforce that is reflective of that. So it can be a disadvantage, you know, if you're looking at a place that doesn't have as many people who look like you, or where you perceive that you may not have, you know, as enjoyable a time socially. I mean, you may think twice about that place.
You know, it just seems as though we've talked about this a lot on this program, and it just seems as though there's a real rut in this city. We have, you know, our neighborhoods are still very segregated. We see minorities congregating in areas, places, you know, parts of Homewood. I mean, I know people there are trying to lift that community out of the problems that exist. But in the meantime, there's a lot of violence. There is, you know, these are tough neighborhoods, and it's the neighborhoods with people who can't get jobs, apparently, and it's no coincidence that they happen to be minorities, or what is commonly referred to as a minority. Mm-hmm. And in this city, they are.
So I think one of the things that we can do, so I have to jump on the survey, is we need to capture how people are experiencing both their workplace and their community, so that we can bring solutions that are more tailored to the actual experiences of individuals. And this is why we are doing the survey, and we're asking everybody, particularly diverse individuals throughout our region, to take the survey, to go to SWPADiversity.com right now and take the survey and lend their voice, share their voice about how they're experiencing the place. Because we do need to bring some additional, more constructive solutions to our region.
SWPADiversity.com. We'll have a link to that on our website at WESA.FM. And I want to get into how this survey is addressing the issue. But let's talk more about the issue. And we have Dawn on the line from Wexford who'd like to join the conversation. Hi, Dawn. You're on the air with Doug Hoik and Melanie Harrington.
Thank you for taking my call. And a very interesting topic. Appreciate it. And I just want to chime in for one other observation that I have noticed. I moved from Columbus, Ohio in 2009 for a job, and I'm Chinese. One of the things I noticed is Western PA can be quite politically conservative. Myself is more, I'm a Democrat, I'm more liberal. So I think sometimes the political climate of people around you, your town, can be a factor that may turn away some minorities. Again, I'm just speaking for myself.
No, I think you make a good point, Dawn. I don't know if we can look at it as being an issue that's set along political lines, because the Allegheny County in Pittsburgh is run by Democrats. I mean, let's face it. As you go out, farther into the state, the outlying areas, and around the state of Pennsylvania, where the Republicans, of course, control the legislature, but here in Pittsburgh, it's the Democrats. You know, when you talk about the politics, if politics is part of this, it's the Democrats who are in charge. And Melanie, you want to say something?
Well, I think a climate. So I'm from Atlanta. You know, it's a big red state with a purple kind of city, and politically speaking, and
Atlanta. Interesting.
And but the in-migration of people of color to that region is quite significant. So I think what we really want to think about is not just our political climate, because that's key to any region, but political leadership that is welcoming to diverse individuals. That is going to be important, whatever their political affiliation, and a climate that creates access to opportunity. One of the other things to think about is you really grow your population on the people who come in and fill entry-level kinds of jobs and job opportunities, a lot of these middle-skilled jobs, and not just the high-skilled, high-knowledge jobs. And so as we produce more and more of those entry-level opportunities and promote those and we become open as hiring managers to people of different backgrounds, then I think we will see an accelerated growth and diversity in our workforce.
What kind of economic growth are other more diverse cities that are similar in size seeing that we may not be here in Pittsburgh?
Well, our economic growth has actually been somewhat of an anomaly since the Great Recession, doing very well. Part of it goes to Don's. We are a relatively more conservative place. I don't think necessarily conservatively politically, but lifestyle-wise, in our banking processes were more conservative, and we were ahead, and we gained finance jobs. But we're kind of keeping pace right about at the benchmark average in terms of other cities. So we're not seeing a lack of economic growth. I mean, economic growth really comes from population growth in a large part. And we're stable in that regard after many years of losing population. I would say that in terms of political leaders, following up on what Melanie was saying, we now have with Mayor Peduto and also really with Rich Fitzgerald, they are doing a lot to bring in, and minorities in top positions. We just had a story on the Rooney Rule and how that's affecting, Pittsburgh companies. And I know that the county executive's office has actually been following that rule in a large measure.
How is it? How is the Rooney Rule influencing minority hiring beyond the NFL? Is it making a broader impact in Pittsburgh?
Well, I think it is because the Rooneys have such a high kind of standing, and the Steelers and Rooneys have such a great brand here. I got an email from a good friend whose husband was doing that long before, in another city, before it became the Rooney Rule. But with the NFL, that clearly catapults it to much more recognition. And that's part of our effort with this, and really with the survey, is to raise awareness. We did this story on the Rooney Rule to kind of spread the word, to kind of sow seeds. And with the survey, we really hope to get this information. I mean, we initially were questioning maybe we just wanted, minority people to take it. But no, we really want to see what the difference are between the majority and minority populations. And those are blunt terms. And we want people in the majority community, the white community, so to speak, also to be aware of this, because that's who most of the people are. We all need to kind of embrace this, because as Melanie said, it's a long-term proposition. It's not as if you're trying to kind of ship people in all of a sudden. More effective is when you create the conditions, and a lot of people are certainly working on this, where it's a welcoming place, where people who do come in find what they want, what they need, and decide to stay.
Let's take a call from Tina in Pittsburgh at 412-246-2002. Hi, Tina.
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead with your comment or question.
I'm a native speaker of Spanish, and I was hired as a long-term substitute in a district here in the South. And as you could thought, maybe I was going to be able to get a job because I know the language very well. And I once had the opportunity to speak with a superintendent of the district, and she said that they were looking for have more diversity. And there were a couple of openings in the district. And sadly, I didn't get a job. And I think, it's because the students or the district, they don't want to have problems with the parents and the students having to adjust to some accent of mine. So I don't know.
You perception is reality. If you feel that was the case, that may be true, Tina.
Tina, this is Melanie. I also want to encourage you. You can reach out to Vibrant Pittsburgh's Welcome Center. and contact us, and we would be happy to share with you a broader variety of job searching tools and resources that are here in the region. I would recommend that you cast your net very wide, and also don't get disheartened. I have found that the decision-making time frame for a number of employers can be kind of long. So it may not mean never, it may just mean not that those particular opportunities. So please reach out to us. We'd be delighted to help.
Paul, I just want to throw into both Tina and Dawn, they're, you know, both great examples of people, you know, we hope will take this survey. We really need your input, because we're going to be basing, we hope that this information we gather on the workplace and community provides actionable results that form planks in our regional strategy. So SWPADiversity.com, you know, Tina, jump on that, and it doesn't take long. And Tina, it's anonymous.
Tina, thank you for that call. Let's go to Eric in Swissvale. Eric, hi. You're on Essential
Thanks
Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me on. My question is really about UPMC being the largest employer in the area. I have not seen them really make any attempts to reach out to any of the minority groups, and just being in and out of the hospitals, once you get beyond the, you know, food service or environmental staff, the employees are almost all primarily of white race after that. And I was wondering, you know, should they be held accountable for this trend also?
If that's the case, I don't doubt what you're seeing. I don't know if anybody's done a scientific breakdown or you know, researched the data of the breakdown of the ethnicity of the personnel, the races of the personnel in UPMC, and what the ratio is, Melanie.
So what we've done in the past is it's actually on an aggregate basis. So we aren't able to go into individual companies to look to see what their individual diversity representation is. What we have seen is that diversity growth rates in the region and in the workforce are about at 2%, which are about on par with our other competing regions. The challenge for us is that we have such a bigger hole to dig out of that we have to accelerate the rate at which diversity is growing in our workplace. I think that more and more organizations are certainly talking about this, the larger employers certainly. What we need to do, though, and this is why taking the survey and asking your caller to share those specific kinds of experiences that he is having or things that he's observing, because we need to bring some additional solutions to address some of these issues.
Lee in an email says, as a recruiter and HR consultant, I think one of the issues is that when many companies in Pittsburgh are hiring or need to fill open positions, they don't recruit or interview a diverse pool of candidates. You can't have a diverse workforce unless you start with diversity within the talent acquisition and recruiting methods. That's, again, an email from Lee. And to her point, and we were talking about the Rooney Rule, you know, certainly the Steelers have had success with that. That's one of the reasons why, or may have been one of the reasons why, Mike Tomlin was interviewed to become head coach, because I believe that interview took place shortly after that rule was in place. The Steelers may have ended up interviewing him anyway, but they hired Mike Tomlin, who is black, and it was a couple years later that they won the Super Bowl. So an example of the success that you can experience with diverse leadership and a diverse workforce. Let's go to Jay in Pittsburgh with a comment. Jay, welcome.
Thanks, Paul and guest. You know, I grew up in Gary, Indiana, 30 miles east of Chicago, and moved to Pittsburgh in 77. And, you know, in Gary you had the normal ethnic groups, but you also had Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, et cetera, the Greeks, the Italians, Poles, the Germans, whatever. And I always wondered why Pittsburgh seemed to lack that diversity. But my little theory is simply that it's geographic location. In other words, if people were migrating, they're going to go to Chicago, maybe New York, Philly, and there may be no rhyme or reason to that, but that was my thought. Thanks very much.
Well, interesting observations. Thank you, Jay. So he's saying that, you know, maybe Pittsburgh's lack of size has something to do with it, not attracting people. But, Your survey is based on cities of comparable size, and Pittsburgh's at the bottom, so that wouldn't be a factor there.
Well, it would, and the survey's actually different from our benchmarking that we've done, but I mean, our geographic location, I think, is a factor historically. I mean, coastal cities get, you know, it's much more easy for immigrants. And, but again, if places, Chicago during the time when, you know, the last 40 years, Chicago had jobs to offer, Pittsburgh didn't. I want to just throw out, Paul, the big context for this whole thing is looking, the reason we're looking at the workforce is because it's projected that when the baby boomers retire, we're going to have as many as 144,000, you know, a gap of workers that we need to be filled. 40 years into the future, the, you know, demographers say that the white population in the U.S. is going to decline by 10% in real numbers. So Pittsburgh is going to need to attract people of all kinds, but especially given that that, you know, white people situation, especially, you know, minorities. So that's kind of the underlying thing that is really prompting us to do this, to keep a robust workforce so we can fill our jobs, keep our economy going.
Well, I think the thing to say now is take the survey.
Take the survey, swpadiversity.com. Give us your views. Tell us your observations. All of the observations that the callers have made, we want those in the survey calls.
And then what happens when you get that information?
It's going to be, the survey will close on Sunday. We will, you know, turn the wheel and crank the results out. And we're going to get back to the public. We're going to analyze it, and slice it and dice it, look at it. By the way, I just want to reiterate, it's an anonymous survey. Pitt is executing this survey. And we'll get things, results out in November.
There was, I guess this summer, Time Magazine produced a promotional video for Pittsburgh that many criticized for showing the city as a great place to live if you're a middle-aged white male. I don't know if you saw this via this.
I saw it. I was
video.
One of the people interviewed.
Yeah,
so I saw it.
So, what were your thoughts about it?
Well, I mean that. I mean the person who was doing the documentary was a young African American guy. I mean, I thought the documentary was a good one, but it's in the media business, especially when you're on camera. Sure, you have to have some degree of diversity. So. You would say that that's a failing. And in that regard, and the controversy that, you know, and engendered was a disservice to our city. The people who were interviewed, you know, all did their best. They don't know who's being interviewed. But being an interviewer for many years, you always get some degree of cross-section.
Well, Doug Hoik is director of Pittsburgh Today and Melanie Harrington, president and CEO of Vibrant Pittsburgh. We've come to time for the segment, but thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for
having us.
Coming up, why is there a lack of women holding political office in Pennsylvania? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.